Welcome to this podcast produced by Imagine, your resource for early childhood music therapy. Imagine is produced by Della Vista Publisher and can be found on the web at www.imagine.musictherapy.biz. The title of this podcast is It's All About Relationship and features Camille Catlett in an interview with Dr. Petra Kern. Hello, I'm Dr. Petra Kern, the editor-in-chief of the Imagine magazine. Welcome to Camille Catlett. Thank you for joining me today on this Imagine podcast.
Thanks, Petra. It's a joy to be here and to see you again.
Yeah, Camille, the COVID-19 pandemic has raised great concerns for children's mental health and well-being by caregivers and service providers, as well as professional organizations. In this year's Imagine podcast series, we would like to find out about challenges you have faced in your profession and in your roles, and how you promote good social and emotional development in infants and young children, and what supports you give to their parents and caregivers and communities. Or I know that you work a lot with service providers. So we have prepared some questions for you. And my first one is, of course, where do you work and what is your role?
Right. Well, home base for me is Chapel Hill, North Carolina. And I work at this time virtually with faculty in 8 different states. And that's the primary group that I'm working with. So I work with them on projects. Some of them are state funded, some funded through federal grants. And the purpose of the projects is to promote enhancements in those college programs that are preparing future early childhood educators. And some of the things that we focus on is really making sure that the courses and the field experiences emphasize issues of equity, diversity, language, ability, and really prepare students to be both knowledgeable about and able to demonstrate that they have evidence-based practices in their repertoire. So I actually am working a lot with faculty. So just my exposure to what, pardon the pun, to what this has meant during COVID is very different, because immediately one of the things that became apparent when the pandemic hit was that there would be no face-to-face coursework. There would be no opportunities for students to be in field placements with children, and there would be no direct interactions with families. And those have tremendous implications for the people I'm working directly with.
Right. You have your finger right on the pulse, I would say. So, Camille, in the news, we hear a lot about the mental health crisis. What comes to your mind when you read about the rise in mental health issues among young children during this pandemic?
Yeah. I think about that issue from a number of perspectives, again, because I'm largely working with college and university faculty. The indirect groups I work with are their students. And particularly in the field of early childhood, it is often the case that at the community college level, many of the students are themselves individuals who are working in the field, who have families of their own. So the impact has been magnified in that I am thinking about the families of the faculty members with whom I interact directly. And as I'm working with them, how much their lives have changed now that their children are home, perhaps. I'm also thinking about their students who may have been working full-time, going to school full-time, and also now have the responsibility for being the home tutor for their children who are not in school. And I'm also thinking about all of the children who would be part of the experiences that those college students have. So it's been magnified. We really see the impact on children across all of those systems, and also how much the mental health of the adults caring for those children has been stretched during this time.
Yeah, you actually answered already my next question, but maybe you could elaborate a little bit more on what kind of mental health issues do you see in your clients? Stress,
well,
I guess, is one of them.
Yeah, I mean, I think the wonderful colleagues who inform early childhood mental health. I think about colleagues in the 0 to 3 world. I think about the Center for the Developing Child at Harvard. And these are just some of the many wise sources that help us understand that for young children, it's all about relationships. And the adults in the universe of those young children, particularly for very young infants, draw their experiences from their environment and their caregivers. So when the faculty members who are teaching the courses are stressed because of what's going on in their homes because of COVID, and the students who are trying to take the courses and still keep up are stressed because of their home environments where they are also trying to care for children, the magnification, we actually have had programs recently where early childhood teachers graduated with a degree in early childhood education without ever having a direct conversation with a family, if you can imagine that, because of when COVID hit. So what that also means is when these individuals are, these what had been students are teachers, their repertoire for how to support stressed parents to be a resource to their children is perhaps less robust than what we would have liked to see. So there are lots and lots of ways in which that caregiver role has been impacted at all levels by COVID.
Yeah, I think you're addressing a really important issue, which is to think about the whole system when we talk about infant and early childhood mental health. It took me a while to understand and when that term mental health actually entered the early childhood world. But I think all the resources you cited, we understand this now that it's the whole community which is affected and therefore affects the young child. Is that correct?
Yeah, I think, again, just we adults literally are the universe to children. And when they are stressed, I think the likelihood that their caregiving interactions may reflect that will have implications for the children. I think it is through no ill will or lack of knowledge, but just when things are really tough, it's very hard to be as well regulated, as calm, as supportive as we would like. Petra, you actually raised another really interesting point. When we think about the evolution of the field of infant mental health, one of the things that's happened in a number of states is that as a result of there not being enough focused attention on infant mental health, separate groups of people have really come together. And as a result, there are standards and competencies and resources that they've developed. I think one of the things that hasn't happened that might be part of what it would be important to see in the future is in every state, we have a system of preparation of the future educators and infant toddler caregivers. We also have a set of guidelines or standards that really help us understand how to support and what to look for as we work with those children. I think if there were an opportunity to integrate that wonderful emphasis on infant mental health within those systems, we would have, I think, much more skillful educators and professionals. I would think that that would be true of music therapists as well. That I think right now in some of the mainstream programs, infant mental health is sort of marginalized. It's, yes, that's really important. We're focusing on social and emotional learning, and infant mental health, we'll get to it if we have time. So I think it's a very interesting aspect of how our field is evolving. The most recent work at the National Association for the Education of Young Children has made strides to move in that direction. There are new professional standards and competencies for early childhood educators. There's a new position statement on developmentally appropriate practice. And in both cases, the importance of infant mental health and early childhood mental health is really strong. The other thing that has emerged as a component of this is the sense of self-care among the adults who are providing care for children, and how important that self-care, that self-regulation, that self-awareness can be in making sure that the care that we're providing is as effective as possible.
That makes a lot of sense. Yes. So in terms of your consultancy to the educators, how did you adjust your services? You said already everything is digital and you're meeting online and so forth. But in terms of content, what are you focusing on now?
I think there are several ways that the work has been adjusted. And in my case, again, because I am interacting directly with faculty who are then interacting with their students, I think several things have happened. One is an increased appreciation for the relationships that we build with other adults. And so part of what I find is where in the beginning, we were having Zoom meetings and we would literally just jump right to the agenda. Now, one of the things that I really am seeing is how much we have made it our work to value learning about each other and how we're doing. And, you know, it's interesting, I think, particularly for really busy women, and I know very few who aren't, one of the things that we sometimes feel is selfish or something we would never prioritize is the idea of really taking care of ourselves. That idea of how do we help faculty members prioritize relationships and mental health? How do we then help them to prioritize that for their students? I think one example is working with several colleagues. One of the projects that I work on did a webinar for faculty on building virtual relationships with their students as a way to really understand that right now, how they are maybe even more important than what they're learning. And that then would translate into how they are with the children they teach, with the children in their home. And those are just examples. The other thing I have learned a tremendous amount about is just the intricacies of self-care and mindfulness, which is a term that people are using more and more. There's so many cultural dimensions to this. I think for some of us who grew up with this as an option, we would say, well, you know, I do yoga. Yoga isn't everyone's opportunity. And I think, you know, the idea of go get a pedicure is great in terms of self-care for those of us who can afford to get a pedicure. But for just hardworking individuals who don't even see a way that they could stop making dinner, caring for their children, helping their children to figure out how to Zoom their course, I think we particularly need to pay attention to some of the cultural dimensions of mental health, and that it absolutely is not a one size fits all. So those are the kinds of things that I'm having conversations with faculty about, so they then are in a position to have conversations with their students about how are you taking care of yourself. Mm-hmm. For 2 years, we've been saying this is really hard. And what I hear is people are just exhausted.
Right. After now 2+ years.
Yeah.
Yes. Camille, do you have also some tips for parents how they can nurture their child's mental health?
You know, it's interesting. For me, that's what I do in my spare time. So, Petra, I think you know that there are two listservs that I provide for free for anyone who's interested. And one of them is a free listserv that goes out once a month called Baby Talk. And I try to make that available to anyone who's interested, so families have access, and to the extent possible, I'm also looking for resources in English and in Spanish. But I have really prioritized in the last 2 years resources that are good, evidence-based, free, and readily available on social and emotional development, on infant mental health, on caregiver health, as a way, that's a vehicle that I use. And I think what I would say is if one of the things that you would like to offer as part of this podcast is if anyone would want subscription to Baby Talk. If they'll contact me, I'll be glad to sign them up. I just need a name and an email. And so I guess that's a way that I've worked to make resources readily available for families. I also have in mind just a design for a research project that I'd really like to learn more about. One of the things that has changed in the last, I would say, 12 years in the United States is an appreciation for the impact of home visiting. And there now is a federal process for grants to states, the McVie projects, which fund evidence-based home visiting models. And in many states, there are now are additional resources from the state, and some states they've found private sources. But home visiting is something that really has re-entered the mainstream. And in some countries, it's something that happens automatically. But one of the things I'd really like to know, I view home visitors who are in touch with families, who are available to families as a source of information, as possibly a conduit for support during the pandemic. And I'd really love to see a comparison of how families who have benefited from home visiting during the pandemic are faring in terms of their mental health, as opposed to families who've not had that kind of contact or opportunity.
Now, we talked about the educators, we talked about the student educators, we talked about the parents. What about the community? How can we best support the communities to build sustainable mental health and well-being for infants and young children and their families?
Yeah, I think that's a tough question because of a number of things. One, the pandemic is... And how to respond to the pandemic is still such a polarizing influence in this country that wrapping our heads around how to work together toward a better solution is challenging. I think what I would hope is that we would be electing wise individuals who read the scientific evidence and then make decisions and advocate for choices that really will make a difference. And I think within each state, one of the things to do is to find the organizations that are doing that and to work to support them. I think there are still people doing valiant and scientifically sound work to advance opportunities for funding the kinds of mental health supports that a community needs to be healthy. And I think it feels like the process of finding those organizations might be harder now than it has been in the past because of some of these polarizing influences, but there are people in every community doing good work to support children and families. And I think lending ourselves to those efforts is one of the best things we can do. Mm-hmm. And then also use the power of your vote to, as part of the process, ask questions of people who are running for office, and then use your power to elect individuals who really have the best interests of children and families at heart.
Yeah, thank you for making those comments and looking at the bigger picture, which involves the whole society. What are your hopes for the pandemials, the children who have been born during the pandemic?
I hope that they're doing better than we fear. And we're starting to get some interesting studies. I, for example, saw a recent study that was completed by Walter Gilliam and his colleagues that said that mask wearing does not negatively impact children's growth and development, including their mental health. And so I think, and this, of course, reveals my view on this, but I think one of the things that we may discover is that some of the things that we think of as potentially negative, we will find out aren't. And so my hope is that less harm is being done than possibly we have feared.
And my final question for you, Can you share some advice for our listeners facing this mental health crisis? You talked already about self-care. What else?
Give yourself permission every day to acknowledge how incredibly hard, unfair, and disappointing this is. And just state it, get over it, and then just take care of yourself and give yourself permission to be sad, to be angry, but also to be inventive and move forward.
Thank you for sharing your insights, Camille. It's always a pleasure talking with you and hearing about your ideas and your work.
Thanks, Petra.
Thanks for listening to this Imagine podcast produced in 2022.